D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Before we welcome in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, the Titans have unveiled their official injury report.
Woohoo!
Three players on the Titans injury report. Dan Moore Jr., ankle injury, did not practice.
What's today, Wednesday?
Wednesday. Legarius Sneed, knee injury, limited in practice. Kevin Winston Jr., hamstring, limited in practice. End of list.
Man, how did he hurt his ankle? What were you doing? Did y'all practice Monday? I mean, I guess it last week. I mean, but you hurt your ankle? Today, Wednesday. Did you practice Monday because of the holiday?
I assume they did.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out when he hurt his ankle.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Or was it?
You remember he did roll something in that game against the Vikings.
So it might.
Right? So
it
maybe
may
that's still lingering a little.
Yeah, they just.
And he wasn't out. He was limited. So
yeah, okay. So
I guess you could say. I mean, he's playing.
Yeah, he's playing. But I was just wondering, like, when did he hurt his ankle? Like, they hadn't really practiced.
It must have been in that play.
Yeah,
it
had to be.
Right?
To
and
be.
They weren't that worried about it at the time, uh-huh. But maybe that's it. I hope that's it.
And I'm wondering.
Then we know what it is.
And I'm wondering if Sneed will be on the injury list every week because of the knee. Will they just. No, seriously. Like, will they just make
the 11th
it?
Titan question. Yeah. Will Legarius Sneed be on the injury list every week?
I think so.
That's a pretty good bet.
Over under 17 weeks.
Oh, man.
We bring in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And Hutton, we were just talking about this great article on The Athletic by Zach Kiefer, how NFL teams break young quarterbacks and how basically these coaches, these GMs, these organizations, they can't help themselves and they fall victim to the same traps every year. So my question for you, 4 days out from Cam Ward's NFL debut, how confident are you that the Titans have put him in the best position to succeed?
You know, I'm optimistic with Mike Borgonzi, Adam. I am. I like the overall plan that he's at least laid out and what he's trying to accomplish in the short amount of time he's been here. I will say, I think a lot of the situations that the article would refer to, and again, I'm glazing over a broad scope here. I think it's a lot of that would be general managers and head coaches that are not paired up at the same time. You know, GM gets hired, wants his guy, he's drafted the quarterback, and the other guys, the coach is playing the quarterback that needs to win in order to keep his job, meaning the head coach. I suspect that's similar to this situation here. But it really comes down to the quarterback. The quarterback ends up saving the franchise or not. You spend a ton of time with these guys during the draft process, and you either get it right or you get it wrong. And it's like a 50-50 shot, especially if you're drafting top five. I tend to think that Cam Ward has the makeup of what is a franchise quarterback. Now, he needs to go prove it. The problem is the Titans haven't been able to prove it with their recent history in the draft. You mentioned Dan Moore Jr., with an ankle injury. I mean, who's next man up? The undrafted rookie as a swing tackle? Like, again, like Latham would move to left tackle again, mm-hmm. and it's 2024 all over again. So, you know, Will Levis is somewhere smiling at that. They did practice on Monday, by the way, Mace.
Well, that's a good thing.
And then had Tuesday off. Hey, have they set him up? It's a steep hill right now for him. He's going to have plenty of welcome to the NFL moments, not moment. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good football team that I see. But I think they have tried to improve the offensive line. They don't have a run game that is deep right now because Spears is not someone that is going to stay healthy. And as a two-headed system, I think they're okay in the backfield. Can Pollard carry the load? He didn't have to do that right out of the gate last year. Now he's doing it from week one. I'm fascinated by that because if they can't run the football, this is an offense that Vegas has nailed pretty spot on. They're over under for offensive points is 16.5 on Sunday in Denver. It's pathetic.
I want to ask you about that matchup. In this article on The Athletic, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell is quoted extensively. And here is a great quote from him. Quote, "In what world do you go from wearing a life vest and learning how to swim to being thrown in the deep end in the middle of a 200-meter freestyle against Michael Phelps?" And I feel I feel like the matchup in Denver is similar to that feeling of being thrown in the deep end in the middle of a 200-meter freestyle against Michael Phelps, because Denver is a tough place to play. I have to mention the altitude. I always like to make it sound spookier than it actually is. And the Broncos have arguably the best defense in the NFL. Do you like that this is where Cam Ward's first NFL game is going to be? Because this truly feels like a sink or swim moment right off the jump.
No, this is awful for them. And, you know, you mentioned Michael Phelps. Every quarterback that's drafted where Cam Ward is drafted is expected to be Michael Phelps. And Michael Phelps would have been in the pool from day one. So, like, you know, that's just how it is. Like, this is the NFL where you're trying to make the most of your, like, it doesn't always go where if you sit, you're okay. Jake Locker had Matt Hasselbeck, but that didn't help. So I tend to think it's more about the organization making the right decision in the system that they're running, and whether or not the quarterback can make players around him better. And I think that this team buys into what Cam Ward is all about. However, I say I think because they were doing that before they even met the dude. You know, Okonkwo was calling him the leader and the captain when you know he had just been drafted. So we'll see. For his sake, I hope he stays healthy and develops into something that they can mold from good to great.
Well, they hope that, you know, by upgrading the offensive line the way they did, that could be the ingredient at least to keeping him healthy. I don't think this game – I come from a different point of view. I don't think this game is about Cam Ward. I think this game is solely about the two coordinators. One, Denard Wilson on defense. How is he going to attack this second-year quarterback under that, in that Sean Payton's offense? And then, more importantly, it's Brian Callahan. Because Cam's going to be a rookie. He's going to do some things that we're going to see on Sunday, and we're going to say, wow. And then he's going to do some things that we're going to see, and, like, man, he's a rookie. How many of those, man, is he a rookie plays are we going to see? And that is dependent on how Brian Callahan calls the game this upcoming Sunday.
I mean, this comes down to Mace. You know what? This is indicative of whether or not they have fixed their issue with the shoot yourself in the foot pre-snap issues, the special teams issues. Have they solved those problems? Can they not fumble the football or muff a punt? Can they stop the pre-snap motion and offside penalties that put them in first and 20 instead of a down and distance where they can hand the ball off and actually control the pace of the game and use their game plan? They got way out of whack last year doing that. And I tend to think that's where we'll see a huge difference with the offensive line specifically. More veterans up front. Guys that should be able to keep their composure on the road in Denver, which is not an easy place to play, especially over the first 2 weeks of a season in Denver. Their record's phenomenal over recent years there. But I'll just go back to, can they not beat themselves? Because Brian Callahan's team did that last year. And they have a lot of youth across the board. But by and large, we've touched on it on the show, by and large, it was up front. A lot of issues up front with alignment and flinching. And just a lot of guys that didn't really need to be in the game were rotating at right tackle. Can they solve that? And you know, every team's going through the war of attrition. But once they get to their depth, you know, there's not much that Ward can do about that. But you're right. I want to see I want to see Callahan step up and scheme this, right? But it doesn't happen in week one. That, I think that's also part of the overall development that we need to see around his rookie quarterback. He's got to slowly let the leash out some.
Now, are you surprised that on the depth chart right now, they have Io Manor as one of the starting receivers? Because not only now are you putting your, you know, first year quarterback out there against this defense. You're putting your first year wide receiver out there on defense. Was it? It wasn't a surprise, more so than it was. Okay, that was interesting. That's what it was for me, because I don't.
You
think
know what either, I thought?
Go ahead.
Hey, going back to your game plan question, I think this is part of that. I think they want to run the football. This dude has talked about his passion for blocking. I'm not kidding. I've listened to him talk about, like, his favorite play in college football was a block. They want that physical tone in this game. They've got to have it. And I prefer him over Van Jefferson for that, personally. It's certainly not Calvin Ridley, right? You give him – he's got – Iowander's got to be the dude on the short yardage red zone target that you can just toss up and let him go and get it and win the battle, win the 50-50 ball, or set the edge when you got Pollard who's going to flare out and catch a pass or whatever it might be. There's got to be someone that's going to open up a hole on the outside. That would be his role, as well as, you know, how many targets are we talking for him? Five? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think you can get into the double digits with him unless you're down and trying to throw the football. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, I mean, I want to see him catch the football, but I think there's more to it than just that. And you know, they're listing three. They play a lot of 11 personnel anyway. This is why they drafted him. I don't know if he's ready, quite frankly, for Denver's defense, but, I mean – you could say that for practically a lot of receivers that are drafted where they were in their rookie season. So, I mean, look, they had to improve their wide receiving core. I thought he had a good preseason. But I liked what I saw from Van Jefferson in the final preseason game.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, talking ball, as Floyd Reese used to say all the time. We're going to a little college, a little pro. Let's go college, Hut. True or false, or agree or disagree? Saturday's game, big picture for Arch Manning, will be the best thing that could have happened to him?
Oh, that's a great question. I think big picture, it's not the best thing that could have happened for him. Because I still think he would be – I don't think it really shakes him, Willie. Just how his whole moxie and – I mean, he was going to SEC Media Days asking questions about why he was even the favorite for the Heisman. He was asking media that. Comes to find out, like he actually meant it. He wasn't just trying to avoid the question. Look, I think it was also part of the schedule. Ohio State was legit. I mean, I loved what I saw from them. So, you know, they get Grand Valley State or whoever they have this week. I mean, it's awful. For all the talk about the great week one, the greatest week one in college football history, take a look at week two and I'll show you the worst. The worst week two in college football history. You know, getting back on track, he's a much better quarterback than what we saw. He was out of rhythm. He was definitely flustered. And Sarkisian's a good coach. They'll have him. It's hard to see a Manning that fails. I think Arch will be just fine. Personally, I don't know that this rattles him all that much, quite frankly.
I think the struggles. I mean, like you said, I'm with you. The degree of difficulty of that defense, he may not see that level again.
Right.
And so if he learns
only
from
practice.
It, right.
In practice. Yeah.
Who knows? They could get it. They may have another crack at each other in the playoffs. We'll
I
see.
Hope so.
I'd like to see him. Give me a grade of what you saw from Tennessee. What was good? What was bad?
I thought it was a B+, man. I was impressed by the quarterback in the system. I think it's the duo, the combination of the system and the quarterback. It's also a combination of Syracuse. I don't know where Syracuse is going to end up at the end of the year. But I saw more from the offense. This is not going to be a defense that is going to live up to the hype of last year's defense by any means. But I see a team that can they can run the hypo pace offensively. I thought a quarterback that was settled into the game after the first quarter. And I mean, we saw him deliver some great passes. I don't know where you guys come down on this. In one game, I'm thinking he fits Heupel's offense better than what Nico did.
Oh, personally. Of course. I think he does.
I don't know how that,
Can you imagine if they come out ahead on this whole thing?
I mean, I think that from the standpoint
of... That theory is being thrown out there by some people. More than one person believes that could be the case.
I think they will from this standpoint. Like you said, Hutt, this offense allows you to put up the yardage. If you're capable of, you don't have to be the greatest quarterback, but you have to be able to process it really quickly and get up to the line of scrimmage and run the offense at the pace Heupel wants to run it. I don't think Aguilar is great. I think, you know, him passing below 60%, I think against a really good team, that may come back to bite him. But this offense will always, I believe, be in a position to put points on the board, especially against teams they are better than.
I want to see more consistency from wide receiver. Yeah. You know, but they've got three running backs that can run the football. Mm-hmm. You know, we have heard a lot about the tight end play that we didn't see in week one. That will continue to develop. And he's been there for such a short amount of time, and he's running the offense. I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, I mean, by the time we get to the Georgia game, both teams should be unbeaten, just based on the schedule, how it lays out. I tend to think Aguilar is going to be playing his best ball right now. And it's crazy to think in this day and age where, I mean, Nico's getting paid, what, $2.5 million? Like, Tennessee was willing to pay him $2.5 million. It was the fact that he wanted more that got him booted. And knowing that you pick up this guy, it's part of the reason why Heupel gets criticized for not developing quarterbacks for the NFL. That's not his job, but man, does he finds a way to work in quarterbacks for his offense, especially the guys that come out of nowhere like Hendon Hooker and now Aguilar.
Hutton, before we let you go, I've got to ask you about Monday night, TCU.
Oh my gosh.
Just laying the smackdown on North Carolina. I'm going to continue to bring this up because I loved every second of it, except for Carolina's opening drive. After that, I mean, after that, it was just great. What is your biggest takeaway from that whole game?
That Bill Belichick is kind of, I think he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with some of the athletes he has on his team. Mm. Got some slow guys in the secondary, especially corner.
That number 29 was getting roasted.
Dude, they're going to get roasted. And, you know, I he's in for a long year, and so are we, because I think they have like 8 more games on ESPN.
Hey, if they're all like the one the other night, I will hate watch all of them. So yeah. I will help boost the ratings on
Adam is
how
really
will,
having trouble containing himself.
How long will Hulu
himself?
Stick with them? You know, how long is Jordan coming back around anytime soon? I doubt it. After seeing all that,
you think Lawrence Taylor is making another trip to Chapel Hill after
absolutely
this?
Absolutely not.
Nah.
You know, but like they get the ball, they go down and score, and I'm thinking like, oh, here we go, and then like nothing. Like it's just. Yeah, we should have known this was going to happen the way that Alabama opened, the way that Arch Manning opened, and just how things in the storyline progressed of the offseason that, of course, Bill Belichick was going to fall flat on his face. And, of course, Jordan Hutson was on the sideline.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick as he does every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll chat next week.
All right, you've got underdog picks next, right?
We do. Do you have one for us?
It's not MTSU, I can tell you that.
Hey,
we're true blue for life. We're true blue for life.
Shout out, Austin Peay.
Oh, my gosh. No, I can't do that. I'm still a Blue Raider, but, man, that was a rough rough week one.
A rough go.
For the Big Blue. Hey, guys, have a great rest of the week.
All right, Hutton. 615-737-1025. It is indeed time for week two of Silly Underdog Picks. We're here. Hal Gill will be here. Chris Sanders will show up at some point arguing about something inane. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.